Good morning, everyone. This morning we're reading from Pastor Shiva, Lesson 55, What is Good Conduct? Good conduct is right thought, right speech, and right action. Being right means it agrees with Dharma and our refined soul nature. Our religion gives us the great knowledge that all people are divine souls on a wonderful journey, learning many lessons along the way. While they may not be outwardly perfect, we learn to see the beautiful, radiant soul in everyone we meet. We look for the best in others and overlook their faults. We try to help others in any way we can to always be uplifting and not critical or hurtful. We work with ourselves to be a good example and a joy to be around, not a person to be avoided. It is our sadhana to express the beautiful qualities of love, patience, and kindness. We protect, guide, and encourage those who are younger. We look up to those who are older and eagerly seek to learn from them. We use terms of respect for those close to us, such as auntie, uncle, or elder brother. We greet others with namaste, vanakam, or om shivaya. Two important customs we follow are to never argue and never interrupt others, especially our elders. The four keys to good conduct are purity, devotion, humility, and charity. We cultivate purity by thinking, speaking, and doing only that which is conceived in compassion for all. We cultivate devotion through worship and selfless service and by being loyal and trustworthy. We cultivate humility through showing patience with circumstances and forbearance with people. We cultivate charity through giving to the hungry, the sick, the homeless, the elderly, and the unfortunate. The first teacher in matters of good conduct is our conscience. It is the voice of our soul. To know what is right and what is wrong, we can also turn to God, to our Satguru and Swamis, to Scripture, and to our elders, family, and trusted friends. And we have Gurudeva's quote. The Hindu fosters humility and shuns arrogance, seeks to assist, never to hinder, finds good in others and forgets their faults. There is no other way to be called a true devotee but to conduct ourselves properly within ourselves and among our fellow men. The Tamil word for good conduct is olukam, which is defined as good conduct, morality, virtue, decorum, behaving in conformity with the canons of right conduct laid down for observance, acting according to established rules or customs. The whole chapter on possessing virtuous conduct, olukam udaimai, in the Tirukkural, I thought I'd just read one verse. Verse 138. Good conduct is the seed in virtue's field. Wicked conduct's harvest is never-ending sorrow. So that's showing the benefits, right? Remember, there's three different ways of the Tirukkural explaining something. One is, it's the right thing to do. The high-minded follow virtuous conduct. That's the right thing to do. The other one is, you scare someone. She doesn't do too often. If you don't follow virtuous conduct, you're really going to suffer a lot. This one is just showing the benefit. It's very reasonable. Good conduct is the seed in virtue's field. So it's going to produce a crop. Wicked conduct's harvest is never-ending sorrow. In terms of good conduct, as the lesson starts out, good conduct is right thought, right speech, and right action. So that's always the threefold. Thought, word, and deed is the other way of saying that. We need to do something not only in our actions, which is the grossest form, but also what we say, and even in what we think. So thought, word, and deed is the three areas of applying something. In this case, it's just doing the right thing versus doing the wrong thing. Very simple. When I first read the lesson, I said, what can I say about it? It's so straightforward. But you can say a few things. Clearly, when you think of doing the right thing, the simplest form of that is not doing the wrong thing. Refraining from doing the wrong thing, what we call a yama, a restraint, a refraining from doing. So the first restraint is nonviolence. We need to restrain violence, not do anything that's violent. We don't want to hurt someone. But that's just the first aspect of it. The more refined aspect of it, which the lesson also brings out, is don't stop there. No, take it the next step. Well, what's the opposite of harming someone? Yeah, helping someone, right? It's clear. So taking it the next step, taking good conduct the next step, we don't just stop and say, oh, I didn't harm anyone today. I really score high on good conduct. That's kind of the given. We need the niyama, the observance. What should we do? We know what we're not supposed to do. Harm. We're supposed to help. What did we help people today? Did we go out of our way to do something for others that we really didn't need to do? That's a better measure. The one that's kind of obvious in the yamas and niyamas, the yama is don't steal. So what would be the opposite of stealing? It would be giving, right? So we would have the practice of, instead of taking something from someone, we'd give something to someone. We'd be charitable. So that would be the opposite or the higher aspect of the practice. That's why at the end here, you know, it starts out very simply, do the right thing. And thought, word, and deed. And then when it comes to the end, it talks about charity at the end, practicing charity. As I often mention, in a group of religious people, we don't have, usually the challenges aren't in the actions. We're not going around hitting other people. No, we're not harming people physically. But we may be harming people with our words. It tends to go into the level of speech if we're helping people or we're harming people. Are we being critical of people or are we praising people? So that it affects our speech, and Gurudeva gives us the easy one to remember, speak only that which is true, kind, helpful, and necessary, right? It's the word think without the I. True, kind, helpful, and necessary. And then a few years ago I said, well, why not stick in the I? So I added an I, which is inspirational. You know, in other words, it's not good enough simply not to criticize someone. We should praise them and we should try and inspire them. should be helpful in our speech. How do you help someone in your speech? Well, you try and inspire them. So I wrote something on that a few years ago. The I stands for inspirational, which when applied to speech refers to speaking something valuable and uplifting, which motivates the listener to bring out the best in himself or herself. Isn't that a simple idea? Trying to inspire someone to bring out the best. And of course, the greatest example of that was Gurudeva. You know, he was a master saying things that would inspire those he was talking to bring out the best in themselves. Well, that's what I just say in the next sentence. I'm consistent. Gurudeva was certainly an expert in this practice, always speaking words to encourage rather than discourage, words to praise rather than criticize, and words that emphasize that we can succeed rather than we will fail. Summary of this idea: you are encouraged to speak to family members and friends an abundance of inspirational words, sincere words that encourage, praise, and foster success. Thank you very much. Wonderful day.